Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. I think a lot of you have a lot of curses over your lives because of guilt and buying into guilt and using guilt. And so I didn't know what I was preaching, which is normal. And so I'm like, Lord, but I think we just really need to look at this because, you know, if you're kind of new to BFA, just kind of know kind of what we do here is relevant. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's really talking to real people who are going to real things because if you're going through it, guess what? So are a lot of other people. Amen? And then when we put it, the message out there, more people get ministered to. And so guilt is like, she was saying, God has not given us a spirit of condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That means there's no condemnation when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Condemnation is no longer allowed to speak to you unless you let it. And you're not allowed to use condemnation to speak to somebody else. Amen? And if I use guilt to shame somebody into doing what I want, then I have opened myself up for the enemy to speak to me and to use guilt to try to direct my steps. Amen? Does everybody know what guilt is? Guilt is making somebody feel guilty, like you did something wrong. Something's wrong with you. Amen? If you're a believer, guilt has no place at all in your life or in ruling you. Now, how many want to actually know, yeah, but this kind of can be generationally passed down, amen? Is there anybody here who's never had anyone try to use guilt to control them? Okay, I thought so. Everybody has. And is there anyone here who's never used guilt? We'll break that lying thing out for you. No. Okay, so guilt is a flesh. We think it's of the flesh, but guilt really is of a demonic spirit and releases. It releases witchcraft into a situation. And so it causes a passive aggressive or spirit of control. Does that mean I can't state? Oh, let me help me get this, people. Get this, okay? It's not what you say, it's the spirit that it's coming from. Amen. It's not what you say. This isn't to say you're never to voice your concern about something. This isn't to say you can never tell your children, you know, we're not going to do that. Amen. It's not about a wife not being able to tell her husband, you know, I don't agree with this. Okay. It's not about what you say. It's about the spirit behind it. And to get to the spirit behind things, what do we have to do? I call it get raw and real. First of all, if you start asking for discernment, which is a really important thing for every believer to have, okay, then you'll start knowing when you're getting ready to use guilt. Amen? How many, I know way back when we needed money at Beauty for Ashes, there were times that when I would do the offering, there was a on it because I knew we needed the money. Amen? And I broke the power of that, repented of all that. It's back there. And I know. And just know, just by judging your mother or your father who use guilt in your situation, well, it's all your fault. Well, if you would just do this, la, 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 right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I just talking to the wrong people this morning? Amen? Okay, that feeling of being controlled through, I'm doing something wrong. I better do this right. Okay, that's guilt. That's from the enemy. It's Satan's way of staying in charge, okay? It's his way of putting you being carnally minded. For example, I could seriously say that I seriously, personally, have a conviction in my heart to not vote for anyone who would get in office and put a Supreme Court justice in that's going to continue to kill babies. I can seriously say that with all my heart. Amen? There are others who could care less, have never prayed a prayer about the unborn, really don't think about it, who could use that to try to manipulate and control people to vote the way they want. Right? Right? It could, you could go the other way. There's people who could care less about the poor, care less about, injustice or whatever they want to call it. Amen? And then use that to try to guilt you into voting a certain way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so it's really about the heart behind it. It's about the heart behind it, okay? For people to say, and I've heard this, you don't really care about the unborn. I do really care about the unborn. And for you to say that I don't care about the unborn when I pray for people from the moment they're pregnant and are used by God and have brought a baby back in the womb that wasn't there, you cannot, to justify your political stand, try to guilt me into thinking that what I'm saying is not true. Amen? Amen? You can't do that. But then there may be people, I don't know them, but maybe there are people who really don't care. As a Christian, I can't imagine any Christian, to be honest with you, having a hardened heart towards the unborn. If you have a heart for God. Amen? And so then to get real about that and deal with, but I understand people, being persuaded by the enemy and different things and the whole political bunch of corruption, not taking a stand with it, with their vote. Amen? You see what I'm saying? But if we really sit down and look at what does each person really think, what are we really doing, and get rid of the guilt talk, then we could get to some real answers. Amen? And I really think that we'd have an entire party of people who believe God running, and politicians would have to line up with what the believers really want in this nation, and we quit, being guilted into one thing or the other. Amen? Yeah. You'll never convince me personally that God cares about everybody having guns, since he says, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. I'm just telling you, okay? So if you have a political spirit, if you think that because people say, well, you say you don't care, you care about babies, but you don't care about somebody shooting somebody. Well, truthfully, I don't think having a gun causes you to kill somebody. I think murder in your heart from watching garbage TV and gaming and a spirit of murder that comes through generational lines and bitterness and self-hate and hate towards God. I think to get to the place of murdering somebody, you've got a whole line of demonic stuff, and it has nothing to do with a gun sitting there. Amen? But personally, I don't see why any nation has people walking around with machine guns as if they should have a right to everybody walk around like we're the military. Amen? But how many know all that's so messed up now that we just got to live in the end days and see what God wants us to do? Amen? So I'm just saying, we got to get free from using guilt for any purpose. Amen? Free from using guilt. What is guilt? It's when you think somebody should be doing something that they're not doing. And so you word it and say it, and you're not honest, even with yourself, about where that's coming from. Does that make sense? So the truth is to get really deal and say, why am I saying this? Why am I doing this? What is the motive? And what does God want you to do? Go deal with the fear. She didn't come up with this because this is from generation of being manipulated by guilt. And now that voice is talking, and it's talking in such a way that it's really important to shut it up in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? See, Satan never does anything in your life, even using people you respect and love. But if you buy into it, Satan's putting something in you to hurt you. Does anybody get that? Satan's out to hurt you. Okay, can I just say that? Okay, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't see anything in that reference, I don't see any scripture where Satan comes to do anything good. Amen? Right? Like none, right? He's evil. Everything he's up to is building a plot against you. And can I tell you, the plots against you started before you were born. That's why we call them generational curses. Okay? I won't say which family members, but certain family members that I grew up use guilt all the time. Try to put the blame on you all the time. Well, if you would just not do this, then I wouldn't do this. No, the way you react demonically is your responsibility. Let me say that again. When you choose to react demonically, that's your choice. So when a guy hits his wife, no matter what she was doing, he's made the choice to act demonically. Amen? And all the codependence junk, just so we can break entanglements, when the Bible says that Satan has entanglements, all entanglements are guilt and fear-based. Amen? They're not going to love me if. They're not going, you know, you want to raise a kid, right? The first time they say, you don't love me, you just say, I love you no matter what you're saying, but it doesn't change what I just told you have to do. See, they're buying into manipulation, and if you're so wounded and messed up that you go along with it, then you just make them more messed up, and it just becomes an entanglement bunch of mess. Amen? So you've got to, as believers, we can be sensitive to what spirit's operating. Look at Jesus. Okay, good example. Thank you, Lord. Everybody knows the story. Peter just comes out of this great, wonderful time of having a revelation from the Heavenly Father that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Father himself reveals to Peter that this is the Son of God. And Peter says it not just in the natural, but from his spirit, you are the Son of God. And then Jesus is like, whoa, I discern that was anointed. You got that from the Father. And the gates of hell will not prevail against this. So when you see them say, it's not about building the Catholic Church on St. Peter. Amen. It's about God saying, if you want the gates of hell not to prevail against the church, not to prevail against your life needs to be built on revelations from the Heavenly Father. Amen? Whoa, you want a promise? You get a revelation from God for real in your spirit, not your head. I can read the Bible all day long. We talked about this before. I can read the Bible. That's good. It's called renewing your mind. It's something you're supposed to do. If you don't renew your mind, don't expect revelation. Because if you got revelation, how are you going to know if it's God or not if you don't even know what his word says? Amen? If you don't know what his word says, then you're not interested enough in a relationship with him to be mature. I just preach the messages that meant to fill the place up with happy people, don't I? Amen? You just put guilt on me. No, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just helping you to handle truth, okay? Just be real about it. Quit blaming God. He doesn't go for guilt. It doesn't work on him. You can't control him. You can't manipulate him. Don't worry about his side of this. He's got it down. He's God. Amen? We're the ones who hang out in this place of deception, not God, right? So to me, it's like, just admit it. Admit it to yourself. If you don't want to spend time renewing your mind in his word, then be real about it. Go talk to him about God. I don't want to spend time reading your word. And he'll probably say, why? And then you might stop and think, yeah, why? Why don't I want to read the word of God written for me to help me through everything in life? Why don't I want to read that? And then you'll go deeper. Well, I don't want to read it because I guess growing up, it was shoved down my throat. Or growing up, nobody believed it. Or the church, all the churches say it different. And then all of a sudden you start realizing, oh, I've got all these things planted by the enemy to tell me why I don't want to read the word of God. You could have even had a spouse, believe it or not, hard to believe. You could have had a spouse who made you feel guilty if you didn't read it. Everybody's holding their heads real still now. I'm not going to at all make any kind of sign that could be me. You could have children that you made feel guilty. I was guilty of that. But I've been forgiven. Amen? Amen? All right, you get what I'm saying? So guilt does the opposite of what you send it to do. How many know it would be a good intention of a mom's heart or father's heart to want their child to read the Word of God? It's like as a teenager or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't that be a good intention? But if you use guilt to do it, then the opposite effect is going to happen. Because Satan does not want your child to embrace the Word of God. Satan does not want your spouse to embrace the Word of God. Satan does not want you guys to embrace the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Guilt does the opposite of what it's sent to do when it's sent with good intentions. Amen? Because I don't think, looking at y'all's and your beautiful little faces, I don't think anybody in here would ever send guilt with bad intentions. Amen? But even guilt with good intentions is wrong. Amen? And so you need to go back and say, why, as a child of God, do I not trust my relationship with God and being led by the Spirit to be in charge of how I handle things? Amen? And so if you've used guilt a lot to work in other people's lives, be led of the Holy Spirit and see if you're supposed to go and break the power of that or ask them to forgive you. And can I always say, before you do that, start living it now so you don't ask them a million times and then keep doing it. Because you might just be doing it because you feel guilty. If I respond to something, even conviction, if I respond to conviction by feeling guilty and my reaction is still condemnation and guilt-based, I'm still about me instead of about what God has done to set me free. Amen? So if you've ever apologized to somebody and you've had to do it 10 times, you were led by guilt, not conviction. Ooh. Does it mean it wasn't the Holy Spirit speaking? No, you know, the Holy Spirit can speak, but if you haven't dealt with guilt, if you haven't dealt with condemnation, if you haven't dealt with how you process that, you can still release guilt. Isn't that amazing? Oh, wretched man that I am. I did exactly what I didn't want to do. That's what Paul says. But with Jesus, we can be set free. So to get set free, I'm telling you, guilt is so part of human relationship. I think outside of Jesus Christ, it's impossible to have a relationship where there's not guilt. Because there is nothing but condemnation outside of Christ. There is nothing but condemnation outside of Christ. Amen? I can feel the Holy Ghost on this. I mean, some people are like, here's the cool thing, all right? You catch it in your spirit that God is speaking to you right now. It's like, okay, God, something's happening. My brain can't wrap around it, and I'm not sure what to do about it. Guilt tries to make you react. Amen? Guilt wants you to react. Holy Spirit wants to get in and change your heart, and then your actions follow. All of a sudden, and it may be like a week or two later, a month later, has anybody had this? And you realize, I don't think like that anymore. I don't act like that anymore. Has that happened for anybody? And if you live this out, you actually won't be able to remember where that actually came from. Amen? Especially if you do this a lot. And you should be doing this a lot. Amen? If you want to be made perfect because he's perfect and you want all the evil out, then you're going to be living this so much that you're going to actually, you know, unless you're one of those people, which is fine if that's your gift. If you're such a detailed person, you write everything down or whatever, or record it in your... Whatever, I'm not. I'm like, I just know what happened somewhere. Amen? You want to know if what you have is real? Then you can stop and say, wow, that's not how I would have acted before. Well, and I'll say, well, what happened? I don't even know. Amen? I know God did it. I know I heard a message. I know I probably heard a couple messages. I know I turned on the TV at the right preaching, or I came and for some reason, when our pastor talks and speaks, it goes like right to me, like, you know, okay, you want to go where that happens, because that's me, Holy Spirit. He does know what you were doing last night. He does know what you were saying. He does know what you looked at on the computer or the television. He does know exactly how many hours you spent in the Word this week. He does know how many hours. He knows everything. Amen? He knows everything. He knows if he drew you to his Word and you said no, or if you just got a religious thing and you're trying to make it happen. Amen? But let me just say this really clear again. Renewing your mind is a natural thing. It's like if you're in college, then it becomes a priority, or it should, let me talk to, oh, you're out of college now, you're off the hook. If you're in college, it should be a priority. There's a problem when it's not, because you probably got your mama's money paying for it, or your daddy's, or you just have no concept and you really need to listen to Dave Ramsey and not come out of college. You know, if you come out of college, you ought to come out with your feet down on the ground, ready to get out of debt fast. Not in a big, gigantic mess, but anyhow. But when you are in college, I have no trouble with kids living at home and going to community college or college, because college shouldn't be just a great big fun party time. It's too expensive for that. Just get out and let your parents send you on a cruise or something. Amen? $1,000 cruise, go have your week of fun. Go ahead and do a $1,200 one and send to Hawaii for 2 weeks or something, you know. Just do that. Just get through school focused. Amen. Get through school focused. Stay at home where you don't have to get in so much debt if you can. If you live in our area, there's plenty of colleges, so I'm just putting that out there. We've got to break this guilt stuff. We've got to start being a little bit practical because times have changed. How much it costs to go to school has changed. It's almost ridiculous not to do your first 2 years in community college unless you got super rich parents and you're mature enough not to go and blow all the money. Amen? Amen? And to teach people responsibility, school should be about that. Well, that's how God feels about his word. When you get born again, he really has this feeling like, okay, you are now in a new school. You're in a new class. There's new things for you to learn, and you should discipline yourself to learn it and make it a priority. And so I want to say that. I used to not see it that way. I used to think, gosh, you know, once I got hungry for the word, I read all the time. I just love being in it. It needs to be led of God. And then I realized people start thinking, oh, well, I don't feel that, so I'm just not going to study his word. So I've changed how I feel about that. Renewing your mind is a discipline that you choose to do. Now, I encourage you as a believer and Holy Spirit living in you, invite him in for the renewing. Amen. Invite him in. Say, Holy Spirit, come in and help me with this. Holy Spirit, come in and do this with me. Amen. We need to decide. We need to get real with God about everything. Amen. And if you have no hunger, ask him to help you, because he's the helper. Holy Spirit's the comforter. One of his names is the advocate. He's the helper. I just encourage you, find something you would be interested in. Find something to be interested in. I think it would be interesting for every new believer or anybody's walk with God, it's still interesting to me, to go and see what Jesus did. How did he handle this? How did Jesus handle? This week I looked up scriptures on evil men, because I can't stand this one commercial out there by this guy with an antichrist spirit on it, telling everybody to, a billionaire, saying everybody hate the president. And I'm thinking, how can people, just because they have money, be able to put that junk out there? And I'm thinking, okay, I'm watching what's going to happen. They're going to lose the right to do that, so that the antichrist, when he comes, nobody's going to be able to come against them. You can see the bigger picture. At the same time, you're like, oh my gosh, look how unbelievable demonic Satan is, amen? And so I'm praying. I don't even feel anything like to be able to stop it when I'm praying. And so I'm like, okay, you know, Lord, can, you know, Paul was able to curse the person to go blind and stuff. I said, is this one of the situations? And that's getting to deep stuff, so we won't go there. But anyhow, but no, when I looked at evil men, it says, can't stop them. Don't let evil in your heart. Bless them and all this. I'm like, oh, okay, amen. So I know to go look up the stuff that's facing me. So I encourage you to look up condemnation, look up guilt, if these are the things. But what I was saying, to discipline yourself, you need to actually want to do it, and you need to have a reason to want to do it, and you need to deal with anything that got in your heart to stop it, like guilt. Like, this person wants me to do this so bad, so I'm not going to do it. How many have seen our kids? We've seen our kids just because we wanted it so bad that they were determined not to do it. Amen? Yeah, just because you want them to do this. Because, let me say, it's because you use guilt. Amen? So repent of using guilt. Guilt is trying to make someone do what you think they should do, even if it's a good thing, but you're using guilt, which is condemnation, shame, manipulation, witchcraft, to get them to do it. Amen? Amen. And God wants it out of our hearts. And as kind as some of you guys can be, I wouldn't say me, but as kind as some of you guys, you still can kind of do it. Passive aggressiveness is guilt. When, okay, never mind, I don't care. That's guilt. You're saying a ton by saying nothing. Amen? You're saying just as much as somebody goes, right? But you do it in this nice little package that looks like you didn't do it. Well, who are you fooling? You know you did it. They know you did it. The devil knows you did it because he got you to do it. And God knows you did it. And so you just as well repent of it. Amen? Amen? Hey. So we got to recognize guilt. Guilt comes in words, and guilt comes in mannerisms, and guilt comes in silence. Because it's a spirit. It's a spirit that says, you're not worth anything, or you need to do this better, or you're stupid, or you. Guilt speaks a lot. Amen? It speaks a lot. And it speaks way beyond the words you choose to say. Amen? And it's a spirit. So we got to handle it in the spirit. So how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, the way you handle anything in the spirit, you get with the only one that understands the spirit realm that you're close to. His name is Holy Spirit. And you say, Holy Spirit, get this out of my heart to let an evil spirit have anything to do with my communication. Here's the cool part about the God stuff. You can't do it up here. Okay, he's real. Okay, God is real. Holy Spirit is real. You can't do what only he can do. Amen? So how do you do it? You repent, you recognize it. Amen? You recognize you do it. You quit covering it up. Amen? You recognize you do it. And then you can say, okay, well, why do I do this? And this goes for anything. This is just helping you to get through life. Amen? Okay, why do I do this? Well, my mom did this, or my dad did this, or my sister did this, or my pastor did this. You said, oh, I judged them. I know I said I'd never do that. I know I hated that. And I made that part of who they were instead of seeing it as spiritual. Amen? Okay, that the minute I judge somebody in my family line, the minute I judge somebody in my family line, that spirit that's on them has permission by spiritual law to come in me in a greater measure. Isn't that fun? That's why Jesus died on that cross, amen? That's why he took all that sin. That's why we're the only ones who can really get free. We're the only ones who can walk in freedom. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't it be good to walk in that freedom? So we have to come out of thinking like the world and living like the world and being manipulated like the world and releasing what the world. We have to actually recognize I'm in a different kingdom. I'm in a kingdom where when I recognize something going on inside of my heart, that I got a God who says, you want it out? So if I want something out, what happens? I quit doing it. Okay? If I keep doing it, what am I really saying? I don't really want this out. Amen? If I keep doing it, I don't care what it is. Forget the stuff, I can't help it, I'm demonized. No, if God lives in you, you can always help it. Just so you know, if God lives in you, he's greater than anything in the world. He's greater. And so if there is a battle going on inside of some people called a need for deliverance, God is bigger. And you have more authority now than you've ever had, the only authority to really stop it. Let me say this. People can stop sinning if they choose to, even before Christ. Right? Those people who are looking at child pornography, they didn't have to do that. They chose to do that. They knew it was wrong. That's called a conscience, right? And they actually have to sear their conscience to keep doing wrong. So it means you can't stop. You're accountable for it. So I don't want all the spiritual stuff and inner healing stuff to make people think, oh, I can't help it till somebody helps me. No, no, no. That's why you should go to prison and you should be put away in a mental institution if you don't know God and you continue to sin or you murder somebody. Okay, it's not like, oh, they couldn't help it. Quit calling everything a disease. Number one, if you're put in isolation somewhere and that disease doesn't continue, like it's under control, then you don't have a disease. If you put somebody with cancer in an isolated cell, they're still going to have cancer. The cancer is going to run its course and kill them, right? But if you put somebody with a drinking problem in an isolated cell, not only will they get better because they're not killing themselves with alcohol, if they stay there for a long time, they're not going to die from alcoholism. Therefore, it can't be a disease. Amen? Yeah, the spirit's still there. The spirit of infirmity for cancer and in a demonic spirit of alcoholism, whatever you want to call it, a bondage spirit, it's there. That's why as soon as they get out, they go back to it. Right? But it's not a disease. What a disease is when a spirit of infirmity gets into the natural body and starts a course of a reaction that can't be stopped. Although, because of medicine and stuff, people can intervene only in the part that's in the body. Do you get that? If you get healed of cancer medically, you actually had medical treatment to stop what cancer, the spirit of it, did to your body. It can't stop the spiritual part, which is why it usually returns. And it returns seven times worse because that's biblical spiritual law. But anyway, that gets into, isn't it cool how God has every single thing in his word? There's nothing out, but we got to have a heart to read his word. Lord, what could be causing this? Show me this. Anyway, so go deep and find out why. It doesn't take long to sit down and say, oh, I know my whatever parent or whatever operated using guilt. Amen. Stop and see, how did you react to that? Did you bow to it? Did you go along with it? Did you buy the lie that something's wrong with you, that you're not good enough, that no matter what you do isn't enough? Did you buy the lie in your head that it made you a better person? Amen? Because Satan he can't do anything to make you better. Amen? So if you break away from that lie and say, you know what? They use guilt and it caused me, whoever you are, some of you have the personality where you rebel, some of you have the personality where you try harder. Amen? I had the try harder personality. Amen? How many would have the try harder personality? Raise your hands. How many had the rebel personality? Raise your hands. Okay, and the ones who had the rebel personality, y'all got in more trouble. Amen. The ones who had them on try harder personalities, we probably went on and did more things. Here's the reality. The reality in Christ, God gave us all the good stuff. So even if we tried harder, we didn't live happier. And we could get medical problems that have to do with not dealing with the spiritual issues. Amen. And we could have had a lot of anxiety, all kinds of issues because we're trying so hard to live with that voice of guilt, the voice of guilt. And God's like, so first thing, to get rid of the voice of guilt in your head, you got to get it out of your heart where you've used it. Amen? I have no authority over a devil that I'm using. Amen? Do you get that? In other words, I have no authority over it. If I'm trying to make you feel guilty when I preach, then I have no authority to break the power of somebody trying to make me feel guilty. Okay, guilt is trying to order your steps. Now get this, Satan can try to order your steps even to do good things. If his intention is to destroy your health or destroy relationships or make you miserable or cause you to walk away from God. Amen? See, Satan, if he can't get you to do bad things, he's going to try to get you to do good things. And so you're going to have to be the best in the class, or you've got to be the lawyer. You've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And if you don't do all this, if you don't do all that, then sometime how you failed, and what happens? You feel condemnation. And then what happens? That's the whole idea behind guilt. Behind guilt is the spirit of condemnation. Condemnation's, you're never going to do this right. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be a good enough wife. You'll never be a good enough husband. You'll never be a good enough Christian. You'll never be a good enough daughter. You'll never be a good enough son. You'll never be a hard enough worker. You'll never be this. You'll never be that. And you'll go on to constantly what? Try to prove that voice wrong. And you live your life in a constant battle of trying to prove something that doesn't have to be proven. First of all, if you can only walk in the gifts and talents that God has given you, amen? And here's the truth about God's ways. He says it in his word. If God gives Nathaniel a gift and a talent, which I think he has, more than one, then the only way that Nathaniel's going to get increase in that gift and talent according to God's way of doing it, which is the real way, right, isn't by somebody putting guilt on him or trying to make him do it or this, that, and the other, or paying for, you know, those things might accomplish what looks like he's doing more with his gifts. But in the kingdom of God, God says if he wants an increase, then he has to use what he has and bring and do more with it than what he has right now. It's the parable of the talents, right? So if he does that, God will give him more. God will even give him the callings that's on somebody else who doesn't want them. He'll give you the business from somebody else's business who doesn't want to really apply themselves. Amen? People, I mean, if you want to look at economics, go study God's plan of economics, and it's not Democratic or Republican. It's somewhere in between. But for the person who has and has potential, which is everybody in our nation, he's very clear. If I only gave you one, then do something with it. And if you don't, you don't understand me, you're against me, and you're going to live in bitterness. And actually, it goes all the way down to, it looks like they won't get into heaven. So we're not helping anybody to keep them bitter and feeling like they can't do anything, amen? And we're not helping anybody to compare them to somebody who got 5 or 10, amen? Amen? So we don't compete with each other. We just hang out with God. So if God gives you something, do something with it. And then he'll bring the increase. And if you choose not to, find out why. But guilt and condemnation tries to steal from you, because guilt and condemnation makes the very things that God has for you, possibly, not always, but it can make the very things God has for you something that becomes painful. Why? Because you're trying to prove something. I'm trying to prove something. I'm trying to prove something. Doesn't it just wear you out thinking of having to prove something? You have nothing to prove. Anybody. I mean, when I hear, we were talking about this Friday night, well, black people got to work twice as hard. Well, that's a lie. No, that's a lie you've bought from people telling you that. If I do everything as unto the Lord, then I'm going to work as awesome as he would have me work. I'm going to preach as good as he'd have me preach. And he doesn't say, except white people. You don't have to do this as unto the Lord and do a lot. You just do the minimum. It's okay. That's not in his kingdom. Amen? 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 So these are lies. These are bitter lies. If I'm working twice as hard, and that's your belief, let me promise you, there's somebody in that office working just as hard as you who's not black. But you're not going to see that because you bought that lie. Amen? Same thing if you're a woman. I don't even think for 5 seconds about all the persecution against women pastors. It doesn't affect me because God opens the doors and God closes the doors. And he knows who's supposed to come in and hear this woman pastor. Not everybody can handle this probably. Amen? So I'm cool with it. He's in charge. You get that? He's in charge if I'm not living in guilt, if I'm not living in condemnation. Condemnation, this is already a judge deal. Folks, let me just tell you, nothing's judged, and you're going to stand before God, and you think for 5 seconds that God's going to let you give credit to anything you've accomplished, to what came against you? That's giving the devil credit. Well, I became the first of this because, you know, I had to work so hard because I was a woman. And No. If you accomplished anything that you were called to accomplish, it's because I put it in your heart. I gave you the gifts. I opened the door and I made the way. Do not give the oppressor credit, the glory for what I've done. We need to wake up, people. We need to wake up the church. Yes, the world has to live like the world lives. Let them dog eat dog and all their other mess. Amen? I'm not part of that. Amen? I'm not part of that. I'm not part of guilt and condemnation. You can't make me feel guilty for being white, and I'm not going to make you feel condemned for being black or whatever. That whole way of thinking is so ridiculous in the kingdom. Amen? It's just ridiculous in the kingdom. It's an excuse. Just be honest about what you're doing with what God's given you. The Bible says it's unwise to compare ourselves. Amen? Amen. Your problem for any of us is guilt more than anything else. Guilt and condemnation. Guilt and condemnation. Guilt and condemnation always has a root of bitterness. There's always a self-hate thing connected to guilt. You need to hate yourself if you don't do this. And then there's always this hurt place of hating the person who put guilt on you. But then I'm not supposed to hate my mom or my dad. I shouldn't be upset with my spouse. Amen? Right? And it's like, no. And don't blame them. You're the mature believer who got to get free. You can't go and make them quit doing it. Amen? You can try to put guilt on me. People do all the time. It can't land. It can't land. Well, if you don't do this, you aren't God. You can't tell me what's going to happen to me if I don't do this. Amen? You're not God. Okay, I want everybody to close your eyes a minute. And I want you to see the face, whether they're alive or dead, more than one, of people who are influencing your life, and their intentions could have been awesome. Okay, we're not touching intentions. We're not touching intentions. And we're not touching that deep down, you know, in Christ you love them, but deep down there's some hurt places against the enemy that used them. All right. And I want you to let Holy Spirit bring to your spirit eyes people who use guilt. Now, if they've already asked you to forgive them, and you have, then he might bring them there for you to know that, okay, they're forgiven. Or he might bring them there because you didn't really forgive them. Or maybe you're still holding on to something, or maybe they never asked forgiveness. So some of you are going to have a whole group of people in front of you, all right? So I want you to take a second, and I want you to see, and you don't have to literally see them with your natural eye, okay? You don't have to see like a, it's like a daydream. You just kind of know, okay, that's my, you know, whether it's your mother or your father or your a mentor or a teacher or but somebody who had an influence that it mattered, brother or sister, all right? Now see those people. Has everybody got it? Say yes if you've got it. Whoa. All right, see them all? Somebody got a big crowd in front of you. I'll get my picture out of there, you guys. No, okay. I already asked you to forgive me. All right, now, I want you to look at them all. I want you to see Jesus standing beside you and looking at all of them. Look up and down. Look, oh, yeah, they did that. Yeah, they did do that. Yeah, they did that. That teacher did that. Yeah, that really impacted me. Right there with Jesus. Now I want you to look and just kind of look over his side and see Jesus. And choose, is Jesus God? Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Or are they God? And for everyone who's decided that all the people who use guilt, even with good intentions, are not your God. Even politicians. Wow, talk about now media. Oh my goodness. Guilt, 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 guilt. Witchcraft, witchcraft, witchcraft. So I want you to look at them. And I want you to say, when I say three, I want you to say, you're not God. Okay? And you're saying it to all those people. And as you say it, I want you to see them to disappear. Ho! Out of your thinking. As having authority to condemn you. One, two, three. You're not God. Say it like you mean it. Whoa. Yay. It's like those cartoons. All of a sudden they pop away. The little bubble pops away. Whoa. Now I want you to say, Heavenly Father, glorious Holy Spirit, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, you are God. And you're in charge of my life. Forgive me for letting guilt order my steps. And forgive me for using guilt to order other people's. Set me free from this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, is this helping anybody? You know, it's kind of, it's amazing how these very subtle things, especially when it's people who did care about you, how much it affects what you do and how you hear God and what you walk with. Amen. And God just wants us to be a people who live led by His Spirit and nothing else. Led by His Spirit and nothing else. Led by His Spirit and nothing else. Does that mean we can't say, well, you know, I wish you would do this? No, if you really wish somebody would do that, if I want, you know, John to help me clean up the dishes or something, which isn't even, I usually tell him, no, I do it by myself. But if I wanted him to, if you're wanting, then just say, would you help me do the dishes? And then if they say, no, I really don't want to, I'm really too busy, then you make the choice. Maybe you don't want them done either. Just let them sit there till somebody decides it's worth doing them. Amen? You know, or until God tells you, take your little self down there and do the dishes. Amen? Amen? And don't pray witchcraft either. Okay, witchcraft. God, would you go and get them? No. Don't do that. That's just releasing demons to go bug them. It's the same kind of thing. Amen? You can say, Lord, you know, give me the grace to do this and help this work out. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like you just sit there and not do anything anymore. It's like you refocus everything into the kingdom of God and doing what God wants and being led by God. And then when you miss it, not that any of you guys would ever miss it, but if you should, not us, but if you should miss it and you feel guilt crawling back in or condemnation, or you feel that little, be sensitive to the, that's Holy Spirit going, Has anybody else ever felt the, Does anybody feel the like on a regular basis, you know? Okay, don't tell to go away. That's God going, tap, tap, tap. Okay, the more you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit correcting you, the more you really get free in this area, amen? And don't think that the enemy's not going to try to come back, because we live in a fallen world, amen? We live in a world where almost everything is manipulated and controlled, amen? The media is manipulated and controlled, all of it. It's just like, wow, it's worse than I've ever seen. It's like, wow, you know, and people's motives and teachers and your employer, all this stuff is happening. But we are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. God can show you, this is what's going on, this is how you react, this is what's going on, this is how you pray, this is what's happening, amen? And the more we get this stuff out of our own hearts, led by Holy Spirit, let me say this, the more we yield to Holy Spirit to get out of our hearts and we agree with Him, the freer we are to discern. Amen. The freer we are to be led by God. Don't go by principle. Well, I wouldn't do that on principle. Well, God's not asking you to be led by principle. He's asking you to be led by His Spirit of wisdom. Where is this in the scripture? You see it in the scripture when you have God letting people go into situations and do things that are a little bit sneaking around to avoid things. Amen? You can look at scripture where God helps people out of a tight spot instead of making them get killed just because they're... Now, do not deny Christ. Amen? Do not deny Christ. The Bible says do not deny Christ. There's some things that's very specific. I'm not going to necessarily crucify with my guilt every person who doesn't get up on national TV and say what I want them to say. If somebody's being manipulated to say that they're against homosexuality, okay, they're being manipulated by the enemy to say that, to close down what God has them doing, then God will give them a wisdom around that, and the rest of the church doesn't need to come and try to kill them. Amen? Amen. Only He knows if they're really afraid to say what's true or if it's better for the people to come and hear Him and walk with Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to quit being each other's judges. Here's the key. What's leading you? And I'm not afraid, I don't live in fear. If we don't deal with guilt in the church, if we don't deal with judging each other in guilt, we are closing the door for us to mature and hear God and do things that look like, would God really do that? Now, nothing that's blatant sin. Do you know what I'm saying? Nothing that the word says don't do this. There's no scripture that says, and I'm not coming against the person who did the cake or the Hobby Lobbies or anybody else, but there's no scripture that says you cannot bake a cake. Because you could actually take that to say, if you own a restaurant, you're not going to serve anybody who comes in that aren't married. Are you going to not serve two fornicators? Okay, now if that's your conviction, and hopefully it is a conviction, then you will pay the price for that conviction. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying? So we've got to quit judging each other. We've got to quit using guilt. and self-righteousness to do things. Because personally, I'm like, man, you know, if two people came to this place bound to homosexuality, I would just love them and preach until they get free. Amen? I'm not afraid I'm going to preach the truth, but they're going to have a better chance of hearing, they're going to have a better chance of getting free hearing the truth. Amen? And I've just got to trust God to protect me from lawsuits and stuff. Amen? I've got to trust God. That's not a bad thing. Trusting God's like a big thing. Amen? Trusting God is bigger than trusting your concealed weapon. Amen? Amen? Trusting God is a big thing. But the bottom line is we've got to get this guilt out of our heart. Did this help anybody to see this? There's no way to preach a topic and cover it ever in an hour or 2 hours. It's impossible. This is about line upon line, precept to precept, glory to glory, so much stuff. My heart's desire is to help you get free in areas and go deeper in areas and begin to deal with stuff. Amen? That's all I can really do is help you to begin to deal with stuff. And so I encourage you, if you have issues with guilt, if you have issues with shame, we have teaching back there that's 2 to 5 to 8 hours long. I encourage you to get that and really go deep in that. You know, if you have a really loving relationship between a husband and wife and you're really open to helping each other and it's not going to cause problems and know which it is, okay, then you can start saying that feels like guilt. Now, if she goes crazy or he goes crazy, then you don't have quite the openness that you think. So you might just want to back down and let God be in charge of it and deal with your own heart. Amen? But if you have friendships where people can help you with that and you're open to it, I always tell people, if you want to really know if you have a problem, go ask the people closest to you, because when you think you don't and you're afraid to go ask the people closest to you, then you already know that you do. No, it's their problem. Okay, well, ask like 2 or 3. It's all their problems. Amen? Amen. And so it's like, okay, Lord, you know, help us with this. Help us with this. Just know, I don't want guilt and condemnation to have authority in my life. Now, if you love this teaching, then you better say you love this teaching. Then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.